Rosh Hashanah, first night of Yom Tov, particularly, we eat simonim. Each community has its simonim that it uses. And it stems, as we'll see from it, in the Shulchan Aruch, it's in Tav Kuf Pei Gimel, Yehi Odom, Rodu Lecha Rosh Hashanah, and a whole bunch of things. What's the source of this? So the Gemara relates the following. Tana Rabbanan, in Moishchen as a Malachim, we anoint the kings, Ela Alamayim, near a spring. Kedesh, Timoshech Malchusam, it's a running water, it flows, it's ongoing, it doesn't let up, so there should be a simon for his mouth. Shenemar, Vayemar, Amelech, Lehem, and Malachim, Kui mochem es avdei adoneichem, v'ratem oisai al gichon. I'll bring him to the gichon. Omer Rabbi Ami, haiman de boi leidei, masik, shafi, lo. Masik, shafi, lo. He's going to complete his year or not. Nitle shar gabasor yomin, yomi de bein rosh hashanah b'yom ha-kipur v'pei yisot al anosh v'zika. Light a candle in a house where there's no wind, imoshech nehoire, if it burns a nice amount of oil, neid the demasik shati. Uman deboi lemevet b'iska, or iska, a business of a boy lemevet in mitzlach, ilo mitzlach, if he's going to succeed or not. Lir b'tanago, let him raise a chicken, he shomen b'shofar. If he raises it to be big and fat, so mitzlach will succeed. Haiman deboi lemevet b'k l'orcha, he's going on a journey. O boy, the maid, I chose was in the base of will come home again alone. Nako on the base of the chavra, let him go to his friend's house. He chose babua, the babua. If he sees the penumbra, it's called, the outermost portion of the shadow. Later, the chode will also the base of. Then he knows he's going to come back. That immerses will have milk to eat. Dil machol shadaitim misra masli. So that's why he didn't see. Now, Omar Abaya. So Abaya picked up on this and he said the following. Hashtad Amrit Simona Milsahi. Now that the Gemara has concluded, taught us that Simon has significance. La'ilam Yehi Rogil Mechzer Bereshato. In our Gemara to see, it does not necessarily increases it says L'meichal to eat, and the Gemara increases. And here it says to see. Okay, that's discussed. That there are two different versions of shatas, whether it's just enough to have it on the table or one's actually supposed to eat them. Borei shata, krov, rubi, akarta, vasulk, vatamna. Oh. So with an Indian of Simona Milson. I want to explore, there may be varied dimensions of what Simona Milson, what it means. We started off with anointing a king on the shores of a flowing river as a siman k'sheti moshech malchusim. Then we went to want to know if a person has a siman that will live out the year. There are simonim that will live out the year. Simonim will succeed in business. Yeah. Then the Gemara goes on to if siman has some significance, then on Rosh Hashanah we should have a positive sin. So in the simplest sense, you look at the Gemara seems to say that there's some mystical aspect. But I think that it's, you know, that would be the simplest reading of the Gemara. And I don't know if we'll necessarily account for all the cases, but there's clearly a deeper dimension to this than just the fact there's a simon, you know, there's a good omen. There's something, there's much more profound. Next, the Ramban in Chumash, Parashat Lech Lecha. Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Vav. Vayavar Avram Ba'oretz, Avram goes through Eretz Yisrael, Ad Mekayim Shechem, Ad Elon Moreh, Ve'aknani Oz Ba'oretz. And when he comes to Shechem, it's Vayeru Hashem al Avram, Vayeru al Zarech al Etin Esarach. So there in Shechem, the Rebbeinu Shalom promises in Eretz Yisrael. Vayim et Shom is Beyach, Vashem Hanira Elo. So the Ramban explains what was the significance of this pasuk of Vayavar Avram Ba'aretz Ad Mikom Shechem? So he tells us, Omer Lecha Klal, I will tell you a principle of Chumash interpretation. Tovin Oysoi B'chol HaParshiyos HaBois, and this will give you an insight into how to properly interpret Parshanut and all the Parshiyos of Chumash Bereishis. B'inyan Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, Ru'inyan Godel, and this is a very lofty, significant matter. This Kiru Rav was saying over there, Tzor, and Achazal have referred to it in brief. The Omru, and they stated, Kol Mashiyivu La'Ovis is Siman L'Bonim. Everything that took place in the life of the Ovis is a Siman L'Bonim, as we refer to Maisa Ovis Siman L'Bonim. V'lochein, Yarichu B'Ksuvim B'Sefer Hamas, B'Sefer Hamasois, B'Chafir HaSav Eiris, it tells us where they went and where they stopped, and digging the wells, which the Ramban talks about its significance, the wells of Yitzchak and all the fighting which took place around, all the controversy around it. That it's Meramis to the three Bote Migdash. You look at the Ramban. And each one has a name, and finally the final one is called Rechovot, it's founded in Migdash HaShlishi, when we'll have Menucha. The Chafiras HaBe'eros, the Shor HaMikrim, and all the other incidents. B'yachshav HaChoshev B'hem, if you stop to think about it in an intellectual sense, you would take Yilom Dvorim Yitor. Listen, what's the difference? You know, he stopped in 7-Eleven to get his coffee, or it wasn't Dunkin' Donuts. What's the difference? And who cares that he had a coffee altogether? What do I care? Aim behem to Ellis. But that's not the pshat. Kulam boim lelamed ala osid, all of those are to teach us something about the future of Klal Yisrael. Yikasher yovo amikron lenovi, mishloishas ha'ovis, when the novi ponders that which has happened to all of the ovis, he's born in the middle of Adobar Nigs or Lobo Lazaro, he will understand what is destined to happen to the Jewish people throughout our history. Vida, he called Gzeiras Ayoran, Kasher Tetri Mikoya, Gzeira Alapoyo, all the Gzeiras of the Rabbeinu Shalom, the Holy One. Once there's some symbolic aspect, that they're no longer just a statement, but there's a reality in some dimension to it, El Poyo Dimyat, to be a sign and omen for Tiag Zera Miskayem Misal Komponim. Once that happens, it's come from the world of the theoretical and it's entered Olam HaMaisa, then it will definitely take place in this world. Belochei, and therefore we find Yastu and Avim Maisa and Avuas. We find that oftentimes the Novi not only related his prophecy, but it was commanded to perform a specific action together with it. Kamaymar Yirmiyo Shetziva LeBoruch, that when Yirmiyo instructs Boruch, Boruch Ben Novi, Boruch Ben Neriah, Likro is Divrei HaSefer HaZeh, he tells him, Tikshor Alav Evan, tie it on the stone, Vishlachto Otof Pras, and throw it into the Euphrates River, Yirmiyo tells him, Go Amarta, and you will declare Kocha Tishka Bovel. In this manner, Bovel will set. The son of Bogol himself. We find in Elisha, and we find this, the Hinicho Zeroyon ala Keshet, he placed his hands on the boat. Vayomer Elisha, Yoroy, Vayomer, Vayomer, Chait Chu al Hashem, Chait Chu of Aram. It's a Chait, which is a sign of the Rabbanu Shalom's salvation, and the Chait Chu of Aram will be saved from Aram. Vene'em Hashem, Vayitzev ala Elisha, Vayomer, Vayomer, Lahakis, Chomesh, Hashesh, Baam. He told them to 5 or 6 times to repeat what he was doing. Then you will be secure that you will destroy Aram. 3 times over you will destroy the Aram. And therefore it didn't merely tell him that you should, you're going, your children, your progeny will receive the land of Eretz Yisrael. But rather, v'osolo, he sent them around, v'osolo, d'myoinos, v'chola, osolo, yosos, bizarro. He sent them all over Eretz Yisrael. He gave him Eretz Yisrael as a sign that Klal Yisrael would possess it. V'osolo, d'myoinos, and he did actions which were symbolic, v'chola, osolo, yosos, bizarro, of everything that would happen to his children. V'chovein zeh, and understand this. V'ani mascha l'farash and unavafrat the psukim b'ez Hashem. Now I will go through the psukim to explain them to you. So the Ramban tells us that there's an inyan by a novi that once the nevuah is carried out in a concrete step in this world, it has a different power. And that power assures that once it become part of this world already, that it will never become bottled, it can never become null. And therefore, the Rabbeinu Shalom, he gives a number of examples, commanded the Nevi'im to take a concrete action, to throw something into the pros and it should sink. It's kocha tishkabobo. It's merely a symbolic action. The Babylonian Empire was not sinking into the Euphrates, but it was a symbol of the setting sun of the Babylonian Empire. And once the symbol was in the concrete world around us, that is a special key. And therefore, the Rabbeinu Shalom said, the Zaracha et Enesaret, what gives it the greatest key is when Avraham Avinu goes through Eretz Yisrael. And he personally possesses it, that's a siman that assures that his children will possess Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, the Rabbeinu Shalom says, Vayavar Avraham Avinu, he sends them to the length of breath of Eretz Yisrael. This is the Indian, the Ramban tells us, that the Rabban himself calls this type of simon. The doctor called Xeris the Yunkas, your take to me, call Xero the Pail, Dimin to Yag Xeris Kayemis Akaporim. This is Mice of a simon Labonim. And we usually learn that before we came to the Ramban, that Ma'aseh B'Siman L'Modim means that Jewish history repeats itself. It happened to the others, and it will happen to us. The Ramban tells us a much deeper dimension. It's not a mere coincidence. It's because it happened to the others so that it should happen to us. By the others experiencing that particular incident, that created the fact that that will happen to the Jewish people in our history. So this is not merely a means of prophetic means of predicting the future, but rather it is the siman creates the future. Why is all this? Is similar bottom meaning that this is what he says, this is what Elisha did, this is what Yirmiyahu told Baruch Ben Neriah to do, and this is what Avram Vino had to do by Yavar Avram Boris Adnathem Shkamara than Mary.
And Semisimis
is Siva. Yes. Yeshivish in terms. It's a Siva and a Sim. Yes, the Tzias Mitzrayim took place so that we should have the mitzvahs. Correct.
That
is what the Ramban is saying here. That the Ovis experienced these things so that they should happen to us. And I believe this is the much more profound aspect of Simon and Milsa. On Rosh Hashanah, just as by the Melech, they anointed him at the river, along the river, with the Sanch Timosh of Malchusa. So here, by the acting in the symbolic act, by acting upon it, by doing something, that creates the fact that it will happen. So simonim are not merely a tefillah, and they are not merely a pious hope, and they're not superstitious, but rather, that's what the Gemara says, the oimek, the depth of the simon is that by doing a positive action in this world, if there's a bracha that we are slated to get, that concretizes the fact that bracha will take place. And that we cannot possibly lose that bracha. So that's the Indian of Simona Milsa for that particular reason. So I think from this we see a very different dimension in that which takes place on the night of Rosh Hashanah, what we want. The hardest thing to know Pshat and Klal Yisrael is Minhagim. Halachas have a sugi in Shabbos. You learn the Rambam, you learn Tosfos, you learn Rashi, you get a Gemara, more than one Gemara. We have some background, context. Minhagim are a lot of times things which take place, and we have very little in those things which are in the realm of the Agodas in Shabbos. There were no organized sugis. You know, there are snips here and snips there and snips in a 15 and a fifth place that have to be put together if we're to understand anything. And that's what makes Minhagim so difficult to understand. We know the expression, the outer expression, along with the machshava behind that minute, usually succeeds in getting lost over the generations. That's what the Gaon wrote very, very much in the Bihagra on the basis of the Minhagim. Because he observed the legitimate Minhagim as being extensions of principles that Chazal talked about, but into extending them into an al-halachic realm, beyond the strict letter of the law. So, first we have to define what is the principle that they wish to manifest by this particular minute. And it's very interesting. In the Minhagim that the Gros certified means that the Mokar in Chazal, that it expressed the Hashkofa, this minute. If it was just a folk happening, there's no place. We're not a people of folk happenings. Well, I don't wear the right in Bendel for another reason.
Yes.
I have to tell you. And that is, I don't want to comment upon, you know, what anyone does. But when I was learning in Kailo, one of my friends discovered one day in the Darkei Tshuva and the Halachas of Avodah Zarah that one violates a law of Darkei Amiri by wearing a red bendel. And the Darkei Tshuva was written by a Chassidish Rov, not by a Litvak. Right? It was written by a Chassidish Rov. So, one of our Chaverim had access to Rav Moshe. That's all, till the very end of his life. He was always able to go with him. So he went to ask Rav Moshe for Rav Moshe concurs. So I don't know if he agrees. You know, Rav Moshe knew everything, so you know, there's nothing we couldn't get an answer for. So he went to ask Rav Moshe if there's a love. So Rav Moshe told him, he says, he doesn't know if there's a love, but it's certainly at least also with the Rabbanon, that he does. Yeah. So that's the reason. So I don't know exactly, I view whatever, this is probably some updated version of the same red bundle of before. So I'm leery, you know, if Rav Moshe and the Dr. Chua says it's a love, and Rav Moshe said he's borrowed and it's awesome, you know, then Yeshua's Hashem will come in some other way, you know.
My brother claims that Doug told him it's okay to put a red shirt on his son.
Yeah.
I'll have to double check
this. Listen, I just tell you what Rav Moshe says. Okay. Now, you know, listen, you have to realize that from all the psuk in Baal Peh, there were only, you know, a few people around for.
Yeah.
So this is a psuk that took place in Baal Peh. It looks up. But this was what, this is what Rav Moshe told us at the time. Yeah, approximately 1985. That's the Indian of Siman. Yeah, we have other minhagim in Rosh Hashanah that I want to talk about. We have a minhag of Tashlich. And again, the folk aspects of Tashlich are far overwhelmed what the Indian is. What exactly? Why go to the water? And halavai would be so easy to throw our avayus away. At least I'd go every day to the lake if that's what it takes. The Gemara says, well, let's read the Gemara first. The Gemara was in the Yud Beis and Harius. The Gemara concerning someone of those. And the Nun Amud Aleph in Baba Kama is a very interesting story. Tonu Rabbanon Maisa V'Bito Shom Nechun Yechay Fashichim. There was this Yid Nechem Yechay Fashichim. And apparently, what did Nechemya Kaifer Sheikhan, what does Rashi tell us? Why was he called Nechunya, the ditch digger? This was not necessarily his profession. You know, he didn't dig ditches for Khan Edison. That's not what he was about. Rashi tells us, Lo'ile Regolim Bedrochim. He went the routes which were commonly used by the Oile Regolim to ascend to Yerushalayim on the Regolim. So they needed to have water to drink. How are you going to have water? So you dig holes, and the rain fills them up, and there's water to drink along the way. So he made a water supply for the people that were Oile Regolim. So this was Nechunya Chayfer Sheikha. Shenofla Bibito Shal Nechunya, so his daughter, Shenofla Lebar Gadol, she fell into a big pit, apparently with water in it. Bo Hodias Rav Chanina Ben Daisa. So they came to Rav Chanina Ben Daisa. You know, this is a pretty big problem. You fall into a deep pit. It's pretty hard to get a person out. The life is on the line because it's full of water. Shari Shaina Amalahem Shalom. The first hour, she's fine. Nothing happened to her. Shnia Amalahem Shalom. The second hour passed, and he told her she's fine. Shlishes Amalahem also. They got her out. She's saved. Amrulo Noviato. Are you a Novi? How do you know she was saved? This has nothing to do with Nevuah. I am not a Nevuah. My father wasn't a Novi. No Shaykhus to them. No connection to Nevuah. This tzaddik dedicated his life and went to extreme effort to see that Klal Yisrael had water on the way to the Mikdash. So he dug ditches. Bo Yikud. One of his children is going to be hurt in this fashion. So Rashi explains, if he wasn't a Novi, to have, what did he say in Shoshlishis, that she got out? Because he said, by this time, either she's out, or she's going to die. She can't survive anymore in the water. So Mamela, he said, she's out. By this time, I know she's out. Koshul Bazar. Omar Rabbi Acha, Afal Pikein Meis Beno Betzoma. In a ditch, they didn't die. But of thirst, even though he worked for thirst, but that's not exactly what he did directly. That was the result of what he did. But he dug ditches. His son died. Shenemar Sviva of Nisa Roma Oid, that the Rabbeinu Shem Alami, Chakodesh Baruch, and Bedaktikim Sviva of Hilukachot Asire. That's the Gemara. Missing something here. Skipped one. Oh, I skipped the line in the Gemara, sorry. Omrulo, Sereyesta, Mihelcha. Who brought you up? How did you get out of the bunch? Omalahem Zochar Shal Rechelim Nizdaman Li Bizokin Echad Manhigoy. And that's how she got out. Oh. Then he told him that I'm not a Novi. So Rashi says, how did she get out? Zocher Shal Rechelim is Elo Shal Yitzchak, the Isle of Yitzchak. Vizokin Manhigo and Avram Avinu was leading it. Mitzayerbo, Lach Por Boros of Oros Lodir Regolim. So the Ovis brought her forth. She verified that the Ovis came to bring her forth.
Tile was shechted, so Tile had to give some mason too.
the year she roams over there, why didn't she have Elo Shalav that Avram Avinu came, the Isle Shalav Rom and Yitzchok? The year she roams over there, the Vadai Nigzer Olea, the Shalai Lamisa. That she was destined to die. Elo Shalahoyelot, Piloto Shalab Chenira Ben Daisu. And the Tfilah of Rav Chanina ben Daisa got her in. The cave which in Nigzor Olea Mishabayim, once there was a Gzeira, the Efshir Levata La Gzeira, Chimuta Turos. Something has to take its place to fulfill the Gzeira. Edom, Odom Acher, the Matinu would come with Duchte, but Afal Kisha, and the book of Rabbi Yud Chagiga, Vikron, with Turish Bezoyer, Shalakach noyeg in ha'olam likach tarnago v'erev yom kippur l'kapor. V'im kei nirmas b'zeh ha'inyin, k'mo sh'oyel e'iloi shal Yitzchot, sh'nikrav t'murosa, that something took its place. Kei nasa lo y'kala hovi. So, something, in other words, else is going to take its place. I went out of order with the shul. We just will come back. I meant first to go to the Indian of Kaporos, a very good thing. Like, the Indian of Kaporos is also a very strange Indian. And it also became the subject of folk legends and even some practices which some consider to be of Dark Yamuri also in them. But the Yeshua tells us that the Indian is, and it's rooted in the Zoya, that every Gzeira Min HaShemayim has to have a kiyum to it. And if there was a Gzeira's Misa, lo aleinu on a person, some measure of kiyum it has to have. So what can happen is that the Nusach, the text of the Kaporos, the text of the Kaporos is that the Gzeira has to be fulfilled in some way. If a person has chus, he'll allow something else, the Gzeira, to be chal on something else, to affect something else. It's not exactly the same. I presume the Indian of that is that the other is a chus and stoka kaka and lovers. That might be substitute stalker from that. Now we'll come back to that in a minute. So here, that's what the Indian that they shechted the chicken was as a kiyum of the gzeir. And that in a certain measure might even be part of the pshat, the karbonos too. In other words, when we talk about this from the symbolic aspect, is that the person himself is the one that should have this einish. So that's a musar aspect. The realization that this is merely a standard. But the real object is the person, the chayt, that is coming to the tshuva. That we should understand what the einish for ches is. But from the Yeshua we see basically there's over another aspect of it. That if lo aleinu was nigzer lo ben einish, so the einish could be chal, take effect upon something else, to be zoicha the tefillah, to do something. Now those that don't use the chicken, they use tzedakah. The Shas tells that tzedakah tassel remogus. And there's a phenomenal Gemara. The Gemara is possessed. The Gemara is near the end of Masech Shabbos. The Gemara said that Shmuel was sitting with Avlate. Avlate was a Persian astrologer. And there were a group of lumberjacks on the way to work. And Avlate said to Shmuel, you see this lumberjack? This Shmerelin? He's not coming back today. Today's his last day. So they waited. And the day went, they went off to the forest, chop wood, and they came back, and they were carrying the wood. And they look at the wood, and in the pile of wood that he's carrying, there's a piece of wood, and you see the snake's head. He smashed, when he chopped into the wood, he smashed the snake, the smithereens, and saved his life. So Shmuel says to him, so Avlate was all in an uproar, as it could be. So Shmuel says to the lumberjack, tell me, what happened on the job today? What did you do? So he says, the way they work, but a lumberjack is sort of like one of the guests, one of the comedians, is potluck dinners, right? That everybody brings their, you know, brings their thing, and then you mix, you know, everybody gets a portion of it. So that's the way the lumberjacks worked. Everybody brought some food, and then every day there was one guy with the gavai, and he went around and he collected everybody's contribution, and then he divided it up into portions, and he gave out a portion to everybody. So it's going around, and one guy never forgot the food at home. He forgot to bring his portion along with him. That is pretty embarrassing, you know, to hear he's going to take, he's taking just from the other guy, he's on the dole when he's not giving his. They would have had a good time with him. And he says, what did I do? I pretended, act in a way that I got something from him, and I also threw it into the basket. And then I cut up the food and gave it out. So nobody realized that I didn't give anything, and I spared him the embarrassment. See, even that was considered a form of stalker, and he assisted him in this regard. So he said, stalker talks to me, mother. So that's the Indian of stalker. The stalker is a phenomenal source. So if we don't use directed chutzah zoya, so we substitute this chutzah tzedakah. In the chutzah tzedakah, we should be zoycha, the chayim toiv. So this is the Indian of kaporos. Now I want to go back again. I went out of order. Tashlich. Now, tashlich, you go, we recite psukim, psukim which are ramas to tshuva, we kel kamoicha nisi ovan, etc. And if you look at an old matzah, they show that each different part of the pasuk of Aramis, the different parts of the Yidgimul Mises, Farachamim. So, what do we go for? For what purpose do we go? So, I believe that the Iker Inyan is symbolic of the Iker Inyan of the Tashlich is symbolic. The Hainuk. That Rabbeinu Yonah writes is some Achzorim have, and he wrote a letter, one would say. It's called Yisayit HaTshuva, and it's printed in Machzorim of Yom Kippur, at the very beginning. And he says the first thing that a person has to do when he comes to Tshuva is to throw away all his chatam. And to say, I'm a new person. So the question is, Tshuva is such an easy matter. First thing is throw away my chaton. I'm a new person. I'm a vat. Not so easy. So, Pshat in Rabbeinu Yonah is that before a person can do tshuva, he has to unburden himself. To unburden himself. And therefore, realize that the past doesn't trap. If I'm not trapped by the past, then I can write the future. So, the Indian of the Tashlich, I believe, is we go, we say, we have within ourselves the possibility of unburdening ourselves of a chaton. It's a realization of the possibility. It's not that in and of itself it's a kapor. It's merely that we should realize that we do have a means of dealing with this, with whatever we've gone through in life. And that should bring us first to come to the tshuva. But it's a means of bringing us to the tshuva. It's not in and of itself that the tashlich is tshuva. Tashlich is in and of itself, not tshuva. So it's also there, I see it, it's symbolic in a different way. It's symbolic of what we're able to do. The tashlich and tshuva is yom kol chatosom. Yeah, it's true. I can be Sashlich and Tzulas Yom Kol Chatosom. If I so desire, I'm capable of doing it. So, the truth of the matter is, that's probably with the minig why it emerged in Rosh Hashanah. As I talked last time, Rosh Hashanah is really the first of Aseres Mitzvah. So, the first aspect is to realize that we're capable of doing Tzulas. We went immediately on Rosh Hashanah for Tashlich for that reason. I'm aware that there are different minhagim. I'm just talking about the most common minhag. I know the Satmar Rebbe's Atzal always went during Asrat, Thursday during Asrat, Shavuot, Shabbat, the day of Shavuot, Shabbat, Shabbat, that's the day he went to the East River to do Tashlich. And then all the Menhogos did Tashlich all the way until Shana Rabbah. But the most common minig is that it was done on Rosh Hashanah. And that's, I believe, it's also one of the symbolic aspects of Rosh Hashanah, but symbolic in a different sense, not in a mystical sense, but rather in a more practical sense. Symbolic of what we're able to do. So, these are three of the Minhagim of Rosh Hashanah that we have.
The people who are called there, when they come to Rosh Hashanah, are opposed to both Tashlich and Kaparet.
I believe that the folk aspects of it, from their standpoint, overwhelmed the Teichen. And therefore, we do not believe, you know, we have very, very different notions. We don't believe, we have no pagan ideas of a korban. None of the Rishonim write, explain korbanos in a manner which they would be understood by a pagan. From their standpoint, they appease the gods. You know, why he's appeased by exactly giving them this, other than that, the face, the shtaranodim shot. But that's their question. If you appease the gods, you appease the gods, and life goes on. That's not at all. We are very much centered. We are not theocentric in the Kabbalah. We're rather anthropocentric, we're centered upon the person, rather than the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Korban is more for us than it is for the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's our expression to the Rabbeinu Shalom. It is not but it's for ourselves. As I mentioned before, to realize that we really should be there, the Korban is taking our place, and that realization, together with Vidu is a necessary part of what Korban, the confession. And as the Sefer Achinuch says, all of that in the majestic setting of the Mikdash, beauty inspires a person. Art. Rashi brings Sait Chazal in relationship to the Mishkan, my old love, they are the Mechos ala Yofa. We should appreciate aesthetics. Aesthetics are uplifting. There's a difference. Listen, we could have it any place. When we come to our Beis HaKnesses, when you're in a beautiful Beis HaKnesses, if you stand before the Yoron Kodesh, there's a different regish that it feels. There's a majesty of Mokum, which uplifts the person. And we can experience it in our own way. And many others, I'm sure, will share the same feeling as well. I love all of Eretz Yisrael. And I've been all over Eretz Yisrael. And sometimes for days on end. But coming back after 4 or 5 days to Yerushalayim, and coming to the Eir HaAtika, there's a majesty to that which is otherworldly. There's a majesty to the place which is otherworldly. And that's, we can imagine then what it is when a person came to the Mikdash. So that's our notion of Kabbalah. But I believe those that oppose these practices is because the folk aspects of it far overwhelmed people's focus on the Teichen. And consequently, the perspective of many may have drawn uncomfortably close to the dark day of the Zohar and very distant from our Hashkafas.
So it seems to me a lot of the masses have this idea that we call the breakthroughs in there.
Sam Kisovsky has asked the question about throwing the breadcrumbs into the, you know, in the river on Shabbos for the fish. So, is this permissible or not? So when Simon Shin Tezayin is a halacha that one may not feed animals that I have no responsibility for, all that the Aruch HaShulchan says that they're about literally to expire, that it's certainly mutter also. But if there's no, just feed them casually, I'm not allowed to, unless they have responsibility for them. And this is part of the Gzeira, apparently, of coming to Tzod. How do you catch animals? That's exactly the way you catch them. You give them food to eat. and then you ensnare them in whatever fashion. So the question is, on Shabbos Shira, there's a minute to put out challah for the birds, crumbs for the birds. Are you allowed to put it out on Shabbos itself, or must you do it on Erev Shabbos? So the Chofetz Chaim, in accordance with many Yechlein and Paschans, you have to put it out on Erev Shabbos. You may not put it out on Shabbos itself. The Rosh Hashulchan in Shinta Zion says that since the purpose is not to feed the animals, it's merely a symbolic purpose of the there is a certain Akara Satov for the Orvim, because when Dosan Rabbi don't put out the Mon on Shabbos, they eat the Mon. So since it's a symbolic matter, as a symbolic matter, is not restricted by that particular Isa. So certainly, according to his particular, it would be consistent with what people do by Tashlich. It's a symbolic matter. Now I'll end with one more thing, which is also a minhag. And if we stop to think about it, this is a minhag really of Yom Kippur. But it's a minhag which is very strange. And we start the tefillahs and Yom Kippur. There are moments of awe in the tefillah of Yom Kippur. Tremendous awe. There's no doubt the Sanatayka, a sort of Yamalchus, a moment of tremendous awe. One of the moments, awesome moments, is Kol Nidre. But if we stop to think, is that the way we really ought to be starting at Kippur? And if I had to write the Machzor, you know, we form a committee, and we want, you know, religious inspiration to start the Day of Atonement, we would not take something, a technical, legalistic matter of Atoras Vedorum, and put it at the beginning of the Machzor. I mean, that's all it is. It's a form of Atoras Nedarim. You know, we do it quite comfortably. An Erev Rosh Hashanah in the shul, we take a few minutes and we do it, and that's it. We don't make that the centerpiece of coming to shul on Rosh Hashanah. It's Atoras Nedarim. I mean, you can imagine, we'd start, you know, we'd find some inspiring Musar piece. You know, take something from Mishneh Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu giving to Chochah the Klal Yisrael, start the Tfilas. Some other inspiring piece, you know, written over the generations about the significance of tshuva, the degradation of sin. You can imagine many things that we would like to incorporate into the beginning of Yom Kippur, which would really go to the heart of what Yom Kippur is. And here we start off Yom Kippur with this technical exercise. And yet, there's a moment of tremendous awe. And I believe there's a reason for that too. And what is the purpose of the Kol Nidre? So we start off before the Kol Nidre itself. Yeshiva Shomayla, with the acquiescence of those on high in heaven. Yeshiva Shomata, the acquiescence of the sages of this world. Onu Matirim Lis Palalim Havayonim. A person was in Chayram. He wasn't allowed to daven with his tefillah. So as Yom Kippur begins, it's Ono Matiram Lis Palalim Havayonim. We allow them to rejoin the tzibur. So who were these Havayonim? Why did they wind up in Chayram? Chayram is not just a frivolous act. You know, they brought the robber's coffee, you know, 5 minutes late, they put him in Chayram. So, you know, Yom Kippur decided it's a good time to let him melt. You know, they got into Chayram because they violated Takonos HaKol. There were things that the Beis Din and the community made for the chizuk of the Yadus of Torah, and they violated it. They were warned, and they were recalcitrant. So therefore, they wound up in Chayram to ostracize them, to punish them. So this was not a frivolous act. So the fact that he was excluded, it's the same way they did it. This is appropriate. It should have been excluded. But now comes Yom Kippur. So now we have a dilemma. Is this Yid? Yankel, the sinful one. Now, Yankel, the sinful one, can't come to shul on Yom Kippur because we banned him from the shul. Now, the consequence of that is, if he's in Chayram, that Yankel has got an Avim Yechidus on Yom Kippur. So I can have a minyan. Now, we know how efficacious Tefillah B'Tzibur is. And here's a day we're being mispalo for Kapor. We need everything going for us that we possibly can. So how could a person daven with yichidus on this day? And what did we say? He deserved the punishment that he got. And apparently he didn't do tshuva yet. So really, we shouldn't be letting him in. But how could we keep a yid out of the Beis HaKnesses on the kippah? He needs kapar, like all the rest of us. Maybe he needs more kapar than the rest of us. So how are we going to lock him out of the Beis HaKnesses? It's true, we have reason to keep him out. But how do you keep a Jew out of the Beis HaKnesses on the kippah? He stands in the way of his kapar. So onomatir of this problem, so we turn our eyes from that, and we say to the Rabbeinu Shalom, Rabbeinu Shalom. Rabbeinu Shalom, you have your quibbles with us that we did some nasty things that we shouldn't have done either. And you have what to say about them. And what you would want to say about them are appropriate. Rabbeinu Shalom, the same way that we that we had Rachmanis on this guy, even though we were right. We let him back into the Beis HaKnesses so that he should be able to get kapara with everyone else. He states, Kalam Avram Midos, with Mavir and Loyal Kolb Shal. So Rabbeinu Shalom, you have some tainus on us. Any tainus is a good tainus. Some we didn't do tshuva either. So you have reason to have what to say about it. But if we're Mavir and Midos, and for the sake of this guy's kapara, we let him back into the Beis HaKnesses, Rabbeinu Shalom, we can ask you to be Mavir and Kolb Shal. And that's why we begin Yom Kippur in this particular fashion. The first thing that we do on Yom Kippur is an exercise in Mavram Midoso. We say that a yid, how could we exclude a yid on Yom Kippur from the Beis HaKnesses? There can be no deeper act of compassion than that. And it leaves a tremendous Mavram Midoso because we excluded him with reason. So we turn to the Rebbeinu Shalom, look at the compassion that we've come to with Mavram Midoso. So you, Rabbeinu Shalom, should also be Mavram Kolb Shal. So the Rabbeinu Shalom grant that we should find the inspiration from these Yonim, which should lead us to engage the Rabbeinu Shalom in a meaningful fashion on the Yom of the Ra'am, the Lovei Zayin. Good night.